Mark chapter 5.
The message today is Jesus, the worker of miracles. I'm tempted to read you 12 additional scriptures, but I'll just read two and tell you that there are 12 additional scriptures similar to these. So first of all, Mark chapter 5, verse 1. And they came to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes, of Gerasenes. And when he was come out of the boat straightway, there met him out of the tomb a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling in the tomb, and no man could any more bind him, no, not with a chain, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been rent asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, and no man had strength to tame him. And always, night and day, in the tombs and in the mountains, he was crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee, thy God, torment me not. For he said unto him, Come forth, thou unclean spirit, out of the man. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he said unto him, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much, that he would not send them away out of the country. And he sent them into the swine. And now, look at verse 15. The people from the city come, and it says, They come to Jesus, and behold him that was possessed with demons, sitting, clothed, and in his right mind, even him that had the legion, and they were afraid. Now, look at verse 25. And a woman who had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things with many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse, having heard the things concerning Jesus, came in the crowd behind, and touched his garment. For she said, If I touch but his garment, I shall be made whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her plague. Now, look at verse 35. While he yet speaks, they come from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the teacher any further? Now, chapter 9. I'm just reading part of these, chapter 9. Our Savior, with Peter, James, and John, has been on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they're coming down from the mountain. And when they do, in verse 14, And when they came to the disciples, they saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the multitude, when they saw him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked them, What question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered him, Teacher, I brought unto thee my son, who hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever it taketh him, it dasheth him down, and he foameth and grindeth his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast it out, and they were not able. And he answered them and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And our Savior speaks to the Father, and look at verse 22. All times it had cast him both into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, If thou canst, all things are possible to him that believeth. Straightway the father of the child cried out and said, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And Jesus gives this command. He rebukes the unclean spirit. He says unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I command thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit obeys him. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Father, we thank you for the light of the Son of God on earth. He himself says, the glory that I had received before the world was. We thank you for his light received before the world was. We thank thee for his light in the days of his flesh. We break some events that occurred during that time. We thank you that you recorded them for us. Let us know that all scripture is profitable as well as inspired. And that is what we desire this morning, to be profited, to have something of lasting worth in our souls from our consideration of these passages today. So undertake for us. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Am I in a holiness meeting? I call this Jesus the miracle worker for the reason of the great number of miracles that he performed when he was on earth. I raise you four of those miracles, but there are eight additional references in the Gospel of Matthew, plus at least four other references to multitudes of miracles that our Savior performed. Our Savior was the worker of miracles. But what God has done is to record for us 35 of those individual miracles our Lord performed, and then he tells us about the others in groups. I could have given the message this title. I called it Jesus the Worker of Miracles, but I was going to call it Jesus the Man Who Could Do All Things, because of the 35 recorded miracles, the challenges that were given to the Lord Jesus when he was on earth, how many of them do you think were failures? Not one. And for that reason, I'm going to quote you some verses from the Old Testament that are startling, so you realize that what is said of God in the Old Testament is said of the Lord Jesus in the New Testament. It says this in the book of Job in chapter 9. It says that he alone stretches out the heavens and treadeth upon the waves of the sea. You remember a time when the Lord Jesus treaded upon the waves of the sea? He said, why, yes. He was walking upon the sea of Galilee. Yes. But it says, God alone stretches out the heavens and tread upon the waves of the sea. And the Lord Jesus did it. Now, this is what Job says at the end of his life. He says, I know that thou canst do all things, and no purpose of thine can be restrained. I know that thou canst do all things. And you look at Christ, and whenever the miracle was that he performed, the sick, the demon-possessed were brought to him. He did all things, and when he did those things, the people said, you've done all things well. And this also is starting in Psalm 107, to talk about our Savior stilling the storm and causing the storm to be calm. And I thought of that. The Lord Jesus rebuked the wind and said, peace be still. And there was a great calm. And so I've just given you three scriptures that tell us the things that God could do in the Old Testament. And yet when you come to the New Testament, the Lord Jesus himself is one who does these things. He is God manifest in the flesh. Now, why I like that one in Job 42, was because Job, not at the beginning, but at the end of his life, said, I know that thou canst do all things, and that no purpose of thine can be restrained. At the first, throughout all Job's afflictions, there was this argument, this debating. But at the last, he said, I know that you can do all things. Well then, Job, that I prevented Satan from inflicting all these diseases upon you? Yes, you could have done that. I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be restrained. Now, I mention that because in the four miracles of the 35 that I read to you, what is significant about them is this. It says that here is legion, and it says no man could tame him. And it says concerning the woman with the issue of blood, no physician could heal her. And concerning Jairus' dead daughter, the servant said, trouble the master no further. Your daughter is dead. Even no divine teacher could do anything for her. Now, what is so sad is that some people come to the Lord Jesus with a different attitude. I want you to think of this woman who had the issue of blood, and when she came to the Lord Jesus, she said this, I know that if I but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. But we read about the father whose son was demon-possessed, and he looked at Jesus and he said, if you can do anything, have mercy on us and help us. You see how different people come to the Lord Jesus, some of them expecting much, some of them wondering if he can do anything at all. And I'm glad that this was brought out for the simple reason that I must modify the statement that I made when I said that Jesus can do all things and that no purpose of his to be restrained for this reason. And I'll just tell it to you in brief. In Mark chapter 6, the Lord Jesus comes to the place where people knew him. And when he came there, they said, we know who this man is. We know his brothers and his sisters. We know his mother. This man is a carpenter. And they were stumbled because of the Lord Jesus. And it says he could there do no mighty work. But I just told you, I know you can do all things. But then again, it says, he could there do no mighty work. So this has to be taken into consideration. That the Lord Jesus, who said, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth, he realized that that power that was given to him can be stayed by the unbelief in the heart of man. If you ask me, what sinner can Jesus not save? There is not a sinner that Jesus cannot save unless that sinner refuses to be saved. And if he refuses to be saved, the Bible says, Jesus could there do no mighty work. So, there is no man that Jesus can save if he does not willingly desire to be saved. And no matter how vile a sinner is, if he wants to be saved, nothing is too hard for the Lord Jesus. And this is what God wants to bring to our attention. So, the teaching of the miracle worker, the Lord Jesus, is this. That he's able to do all things, and that no purpose of his can be restrained, and if it is restrained, it is not because of his arm. He asked the question, is the Lord's arm shortened that it cannot save? And the answer is no, but your sin. And this is something that causes us to go through life and wonder, can God? But God tells us, I'm able to do all things. Which brings me to this, and once I put these things in place, then I can perceive. The things that I read to you today were physically and literally performed yesterday. The thing that were performed yesterday are in their spiritual counterparts performed today. And the things that were literally and physically performed yesterday shall again be performed tomorrow. And so today, everything that the Lord Jesus did has its counterpart today with a spiritual significance. So if you ask me this, can the Lord Jesus heal me if I am blind? Can the Lord Jesus restore my hearing if I am deaf? Give me my speech if I am dumb? The answer, of course, is yes. But if you ask me, will he do it today? I would have to answer you, no. For this reason, in all your lifetime, how many of you have ever seen one born blind have his eyes miraculously opened? How many of you have ever seen a man with a disease of leprosy healed by someone touching him? You say no. How many of you have ever seen a man raised from the dead whose body had begun to decompose the way Lazarus' body has? He said, I don't remember any of those things today. Well, why do you think you don't remember them? It's because they're not occurring today. That is why. God could do them, but, and I will bring this to your attention now, from creation until the time of Moses, tell me any man that ever performed a miracle. Nobody ever did. Moses was the first man to have recorded in the Bible that ever performed a miracle. God did a miraculous thing, but Moses was the first man. And then tell me any miracles between the end of the Old Testament for 400 years before the Lord Jesus came on. Tell me any miracles for 400 years. You say, I can't. So what happens is this, that God has great periods of time when no miracle is performed, and then there is a flood of miracles, such as the ones that Moses performed in Egypt. There were 10 that he performed in Egypt. And then you have Joshua performing miracles. And you have Elijah and Elisha. You have prophets performing miracles. You have all of this great abundance of miracles. And then suddenly, they stop. And then they begin again. That is why I said these things were done yesterday. Their spiritual counterparts are being done today. And they're going to be done again tomorrow. But we happen to live in the age when these things are not being done. Just like this. Our Savior was hungry, and he went and he looked at a fig tree that was full of leaves, and there were no figs on it. And the Bible says, it was not the season to see. It's just that simple. There is a season for miracles, and there is a season when miracles are not to be performed. And in our Savior's day, that was the season when there were figs. And today is the season not of figs. Now, if you do have a miracle today, you have to ask this. Is the source of that miracle God or Satan? Because the Bible tells us that Satan is able to perform miracles as God performs miracles. They are not identical, but they are miracles. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, in the coming day, miracles are going to be performed by false prophets, if possible, to deceive even the elect. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it speaks about the Antichrist performing lying wonders and miracles. And so there are miracles performed by an evil one as well as by the holy ones of God. So if miracles are performed today, you would have to tell me why that miracle was performed. Why would God perform a miracle today? Why? You say, well, he might just want to display his power. He displayed his power through the life of Christ, the life of the apostles, and through the converts of the apostles. God has given undeniable credibility to all that is recorded in the scriptures. And having given that, it is useless to do it anymore. You say, no, I believe that men would be saved if miracles were performed today. Well, heaven will argue with you. That's what the rich man said.
He said, if you send somebody back from the grave, they will repent. And Abraham said from heaven, they have Moses and the prophets, but they will not believe them, they will not repent, though one rise from the dead. And so it's impossible for God to convert anyone by the performance of a miracle. In John 11, you have people that had come to comfort Mary and Martha over the death of Lazarus, her brother. And the Lord Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And it said some of the enemies of Christ that saw that miracle went into town and told the authorities about it, and they tried to figure out a way to put the Lord Jesus to death. You say a miracle is going to convert them? A miracle will do absolutely nothing. The miracle can only work upon those whose hearts are made right by the Spirit of God to have a moral change in their lives. And the Lord Jesus had just fed 5,000, and having fed 5,000, people came and flocked to him again. And when they did, the Lord Jesus said, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. And they were talking to the Savior, and they said to him, well now, show us a sign authorizing you to do the things that you do, to make us believe in you. He had just fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and they said, now, give us another sign that we may believe. Don't you see the folly of it? The feeding 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, if that miracle were not enough to convince them, no miracle would be. And so God knows that if a miracle would convert individuals, those miracles would be performed. But God knows the heart of man, and they're not needed anymore. What God has done is this. He has given us in John chapter 20, 29, these words. Many other miracles truly did Jesus, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe. Do you understand? What God has done is to take the evidence of the past that is uncontrovertible, and he has had it written, and he says, these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. This is what God has done today. You have the miracles of Christ, of the apostles, of their converts, and he has recorded those miracles from us. He has chosen, he has selected certain miracles, and he says, here, these miracles have been performed. My Son has been accredited. The apostles have been accredited, and their converts have been accredited. Now, what good will it do to give you any more miracles? You have this accreditation, and after that, God says, no more, I've given you enough. They came to the Lord Jesus again and again and again, and said, we would see a sign from heaven. He said, an evil and an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There shall no sign be given except the sign of Jonah the prophet. And so nowadays, God points back to what has been done, what has been given. And he says, if you will not believe that, you will not be converted, though God gives another miracle. So what you have to do is to look back with an open heart, and the Savior says, if any man is willing to do God's will, he shall know. If there is that willingness, and you read, you will see that the Spirit of God will make evident the power of Christ as a miracle worker. And the power he passed on to his apostles, and the power the apostles passed on in certain instances to their converts, you will see that, and you will believe it, and that's all that will be needed. And if you will not have it, then God is not going to give it. Because when they came and said, we would see a sign from thee, he said, there's not going to be a sign given to you. You would say, well, doesn't Jesus want people to be saved? Yes, but he knows just how much can be given. And he knows that if you give abundance of signs, they will not convert for this reason. In Matthew 11, he says, woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for the mightiest signs have been done in you. And he began to upbraid them because they repented not. And he spoke of the abundance of miracles. So that is no argument today. But what we have to do is to look at the miracles that Christ did perform yesterday and see their counterpart today. And God will work in a spiritual way, in an inward manner, in the souls of men, and do the same today that he did yesterday. Now, here is what is so encouraging. that when the demon called Legion is described, it says, no man could tame him. And so there was no hope for him. Everybody was afraid of him. But when the Lord Jesus came upon the scene, he became afraid of the Lord Jesus. You understand that you are no match against Satan, and you have no power against him. And I want you to know that this day, Satan is working in the hearts of you who are unsaved, and also he's seeking to influence the hearts of those that are saved. It says in Ephesians 2, you were dead in trespasses and sins, and said in time past, you were influenced by the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience. The spirit is working today in the hearts of men to condemn them, just as he did yesterday. And you will never be free until someone like the Lord Jesus comes along, and there is only one someone like the Lord Jesus, and removes you from the power of Satan and empowers you with the Spirit of God. And that is why we have Legion, whom no man could heal, no man could tame. They had tried everything they could. They put chains on him, and he broke those chains. There is no man on earth that can subdue the sinful spirit and lost condition of man and then make him obey the will of God. But what happens is this, that when the Savior comes, this Legion, who was invincible up to that time, comes and worships the Lord Jesus, and he's afraid of the Lord Jesus. The Savior speaks about a mighty one, and one that is mightier than he, and he overcomes him. And so, remember, no man could do anything for Legion, but the Lord Jesus could. Now, think of this woman who had this physical infirmity. She had a hemorrhage, and she had been to every physician, and there was no physician that could do anything for her. But when she came to Jesus, Jesus could do something for her, and she had so much confidence that there was nothing special that he had to do. He said, if I touch but the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And that was true. I simply mentioned that for now. And also, Jairus' daughter. This is what is so disappointing. There are some who in the world say that Jesus can do something for me up to this point, but after this point, the Lord Jesus can do nothing. That is what the servants of Jairus thought. As long as Jairus' daughter was alive, they said, well, perhaps this teacher can heal her, prevent her from dying. But what happens is this. When the child had died, they are trying to save the Lord Jesus from embarrassment. Do not trouble the master anymore. Your child is dead. And the Lord Jesus disregarded him. So there is no one who can do anything but Jairus' dead daughter except the Lord Jesus. And I had to read that one in Mark chapter 9, where you have another child that is possessed with a demon. And here, the apostles of the Lord Jesus could do nothing for us. But when that happened, that is why the Father said, I brought my son to your disciples, and they were not able to do anything. They were not able to cast the demon out. And if you can do anything, is that not sad? When your weakness and inability cause doubt to be cast upon the power of the Son of God. But these words are thrilling. When nobody could do anything, the Lord Jesus said, oh, faithless generation, bring him unto me. When everybody else had been excluded and nobody could do anything, the Lord Jesus said, bring him unto me. And then, with words, he rebuked the spirit, and the spirit went out, and the child was healed, and he gave him back to his father. So think of this now. You say, here is Satan in my life. He keeps me from being free, from doing the will of God. The Lord Jesus can free you from the power of Satan. And here you are inwardly, and you are diseased, and slowly your life is ebbing away as with a hemorrhage. The Lord Jesus can stop that inward destructive force that is ruining you. And at the same time, here you are dead in your trespasses and in sin, and the Lord Jesus is able to give life to you. And when everyone else has failed, and it seems that nothing can be done, the Lord Jesus says this, bring him unto me. So Jesus is the worker of miracles, and I will mention this. I've only mentioned four. You look at all 35 of the recorded miracles, and then the other abundance of references, and you'll find that when a blind man was brought to Christ, it didn't happen to him. He healed the blind eyes. When a deaf man was brought, when a dumb man was brought, when a leper was brought, whatever need existed in the heart of man when it was brought to the Lord Jesus was sufficient. And this is what is of such great importance. He did it to such ease when he said, "Son, thy sins are forgiven thee." And the people were indignant that sat around and said, "Who can forgive sins but God alone? This man blasphemed it." And the Lord Jesus said, "Why, which is easier?" Notice, not which is more difficult, but which is easier? To say, "Thy sins are forgiven," or to say, "Take up your bed and walk." But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he says to him that was sick, he said, "Take up your bed and go home." And he took it up and went home. So think of that. No matter what confronted the Lord Jesus Christ, there was nothing that could overpower him. And at the end of Christ's life, we have to not ask with that Father, "If you can do anything, help us." The Lord Jesus said, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes." And so at the end of our life, we say concerning Christ, "I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of thine can be restrained." And so what do I say? I say, come to the Lord Jesus in all your needs. Because those who were not able to get there of themselves, they had friends that would bring them. And it said they cast them at the feet of Jesus, and Jesus healed them all. Jesus is the worker of miracles, and Jesus can heal you. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful for this one that you sent from heaven. Our God, it seemed as if he were an ordinary man, and it seemed as if he had no power or ability until he spoke, and never man spoke like that man, and until he performed those miracles, and then men had to marvel because of the power that was given unto man. We thank you concerning this one. We thank you for what he did for all of those that were physically and demonically sick in the past. And we are thankful for all that he can do for us today. And those things that he does not do today, he shall do for us tomorrow. So let us rejoice, our God, that he can say to us, "Son, thy sins be forgiven." And we can know our sins are forgiven as much as that man to whom Christ spoke. And let us also remember that when Christ comes back from heaven, he shall change our vile body, our body of humiliation, and conform it to the body of his glory. We are thankful, Father, that your Son is the worker of miracles, and let him work in us spiritually and do for us today, in that part, what he did for others yesterday. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.